I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Mark Reardon Show.
He's a bully with $17 million in a security detail.
Quit the tough guy act. You know where to find me. Any place, cowboy.
It's common sense. You know, some things are law, and I'm all in favor of it. And some things are common sense.
And I heard a boom in my whole house shook.
This is the Reardon Roundtable.
All right, good afternoon. As we have arrived to the weekend, and we only have a few more of these left before the election, so let's get right to it this afternoon. Jane Duker is here. Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you,
dear? I'm fine. I can't wait for this show today. I'm very much looking forward to it. Donna Behringer, state rep, is also with us this afternoon.
Hello.
Hi, Donna. And
candidate for comptroller.
Oh, that's right. I should say that now, right? For St. Louis, yep. Comptroller Greg Keller, Republican consultant, founder of Atlas Strategy Group, is here to spit some fire this afternoon. Right, Greg?
And the hair has arrived.
Yes, it has.
It's in the house.
You know,
it's
in the house.
Keller, I think you would agree that as we move along here in this hour, our friends on the left will provide ample comedy, right? But let's get to some real comedy from last night at the Al Smith dinner with Jim Gaffigan to start here, because this should probably be turned into an ad for Trump.
The Democrats have been telling us Trump's re-election is a threat to democracy. In fact, they were so concerned of this threat, they staged a coup, ousted their democratically elected incumbent, and installed Kamala Harris. In other words, all her dreams have come true.
Wait for it.
Really? It really makes you consider the power of prayer, right, Cardinal?
Here we go.
Sometimes prayers take 3.5 years and a George Clooney op-ed.
Oh, yeah. Cardinal Dolan was sitting right there, and Trump had some pretty good zingers.
I used to think the Democrats were crazy for saying that men have periods, but then I met Tim Walz.
So that was kind of my winner, but this is a close second.
There's a group called White Dudes for Harris. Have you seen this? White Dudes for Harris. Anybody know? Are some of you here? White Dudes for Harris doesn't sound like it. But I'm not worried about them at all, because their wives and their wives' lovers are all voting for me.
I mean, that was pretty good right there. Now, my only, what's that, Jane?
That was the funniest line.
Yeah, that was probably a good line. Look, my only criticism would be if it would have been even better had he read the jokes ahead of time, because he had not. And you could tell when he just
reads
the script.
You mean when he rambled? Yeah, I listened to it and he rambled.
Well, he likes to weave, Jane. It's not a ramble, it's a weave.
Oh, weave, right. I forgot.
But here's what I would say, Greg. I'm going to kind of start with you just reaction. I think this was a big missed opportunity for Harris because, and I'm not going to say she's cratering right now, but certainly it's not going well, and I think Trump is closing strong. On the other hand, she could have had the best comedy writers probably anywhere on the planet. I think she arguably could have delivered the jokes effectively. Why the hell wouldn't you show up? I'm glad she didn't, but that seemed like a big missed opportunity for her.
I'm glad she didn't either. I have no idea why she didn't do that. Historically, over the last, two election cycles at least, Catholics have gone overwhelmingly towards Democrats. All of the polling at this point shows Catholics leaving the Democrat Party and heading towards Joe Biden. I think an undertold story of why Joe Biden was a pretty good candidate in 2020 before he completely lost his mind and Democrats covered the whole thing up was that he was a Pennsylvania guy who was a Catholic who had significant strength in a heavily Catholic state that is 90% likely to tip the entire electoral college map on its head. Without that, without a Catholic who is basically a favorite son of Pennsylvania, Kamala Harris is on her way towards losing Pennsylvania. And if she doesn't find a way to figure this out, she's on the way to not just losing, but Donald Trump winning 300 plus electoral votes. If the election were held today, Donald Trump would win with 300 plus electoral votes, maybe as many as 325, 326.
So we'll get, you know, to the broader landscape here.
Yeah.
But Jane, I'm genuinely curious to see how your side is feeling right now. I mean, how do you think this is closing in the next couple of weeks? And was that a missed opportunity for Harris? We'll get to the Bret Baier conversation, et cetera, because the polling seems to indicate that this is very tight right now. And I see polls from, look, she's in Michigan right now for the third time in like a week. Now, we know you got to pay attention to those states, but Michigan seems to be slipping away a little bit. And I think the auto workers are going to have to say, you know, saying that. Wisconsin surprises me. I didn't think that, and I'm still going to be very suspicious about Trump winning Wisconsin. But again, that would be based for me. Here's where I see that. The parallel for me would be 2016. I've said this so many times. Trump didn't get very many votes more than Mitt Romney did 4 years before that. But Hillary Clinton lost 250,000 people who voted for Barack Obama. They stayed home. I don't think African-Americans like her very much, men in particular. So I think there's some trust issues there. So how does it manifest itself? You look suspicious when you say that. Well, I'm just telling you, the polling shows that, by the way.
Yeah, I mean,
Hispanic men and black men, I don't know if they like her too much.
They do not.
I mean, I don't see that, you know, wholesale black voters moving to
Trump. I'm not saying that, Jane. I'm not going to make the case for a bunch of African Americans supporting Trump, but the same effect could be true if they don't show up, is my point.
Oh, I mean, well, absolutely. I mean, but I also think that there's a lot of stuff on the ballots that is going to get people out. And I don't think, I mean, look, I think turnout is going to be turnout. I think some people have just tuned out and they're not answering polls. They're done. I mean, look, early voting starts next week.
Tuesday.
So, woo-hoo. I mean, I think people are locked
in. Here, you mean?
Yeah, but yeah. I think they're in a lot of places.
Well, but it's already started in a lot of places.
Right, exactly. And so I think people are like sort of, I mean, I think this whole closer thing, I think the closing should move sooner because... I mean,
well, I think it has, though, to a certain extent.
I don't know. But I think people have already locked and loaded, and I don't think they're paying attention to polls. I don't think they're paying attention. That's good. I don't know that that is part. I think it's agnostic as to party. But, you know, so I think it's going to be very tight no matter what. I think this idea that he's going to run away with it. I don't think
running away with it. But look, there seems to be an advantage right now in the electoral count. And there seems to be a struggle on the part of the Harris campaign, Greg. I think we're seeing that right now. So I don't know how there couldn't be some nerves on the left right now, because most of the people, even, you know, you got Nate Silver and others out there, they're not calling it for Trump by any means. But I think they're indicating it's a lot closer than it maybe should be right now.
They're incredibly nervous. You see it in the press every single day now. People are already starting to take pot shots at Kamala Harris, starting to take pot shots at her campaign, at the strategy. The black and Hispanic thing, particularly amongst young black men and young black Hispanics, is very real. That's why you see her numbers going down. Listen, I'm not saying that Trump is going to win all the target states by 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 points each. What I'm saying is that if the election were today, he would win probably 6 of the 7 target states by 1 to 5 points.
So there seems to be a little consensus on what I'm about to play. And, you know, this came up with Brett Baer, and we can kind of segue into the Brett Baer interview. But I've seen several publications do pieces on this ad, because the ad is working.
He murdered a father of three, sentenced to life in prison. Kamala Harris pushed to use tax dollars to pay for his sex change.
I made sure that they changed the policy so that every transgender inmate would have access.
It sounds insane because it is insane. Kamala was the first to help pay for a prisoner's sex change.
The power that I had, I used it in a way that was about pushing for the movement, frankly, and the agenda.
Kamala's agenda is they, them, not you.
Oh, that's a good ad. And Jane, you and I have talked about this. Look, 80% of the country is on the same side.
That's an 80%
issue. So that is having an impact.
And you know, I don't think that she's made some sort of announcement that says, you know, I've evolved on that issue.
Not on that one.
And so I do think that that is an issue. I mean, I've seen not that exact ad, but one similar to it. And I thought, you know what? That's a good place to hit her, because that is an 80% issue. And, you know, right now, you know, we don't have money for, you know, for people who, you know, Americans who need it, who are not in prison. I mean, I think... You know,
the whole border issue is beyond. Yeah, it's beyond the trans issue. The border issue is kind of tied in there, too.
Well, it is, because I think people are starting to feel like that, you know, if you're a law abiding, you know, American citizen, you seem to be going to the bottom of the pile. And I think that's, you know, I mean, and you saw that.
Well, that's a perception. It is. And I think a reality for some people.
And I think that, you know, Trump played with that last night when he said, you know, Eric Adams is the only one who says, I'm kind of sick of this.
Right.
And so I thought that was kind of an interesting, and that's, I don't think it's a big deal whether she went up. I think it helped Trump. I don't know that it necessarily affects
her.
Well,
what about the Brett Baer interview? I mean, did you watch it? Was that a wash? Look, my position on that interview was, I think the right was way too hyperbolic on it being a complete disaster. Mm-hmm. I think your side
was
too hyperbolic on, you know, her somehow, you know, ruling the day on that. No. So maybe in the end, it's a bit of a wash.
It's a wash. I don't think those interviews matter to anybody. Mm-mm. I really don't. And it's sad. I wish people cared about debates. I wish people cared about, you know, actual, you know, policy discussions. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't seem to be the case. So I think it's going to be close. And I think that I do think that the border will be an issue. I think that trans will be an issue. I think that, you know,
the economy. Yeah.
The economy.
Keller,
what do
you think
issue?
Of that?
All of which are loser issues for the Democrats. They're upside down on each one of those issues by a minimum of 10 points. I would actually push back on Jane's point. Over 7 million Americans watched that interview of Kamala Harris being on Fox News with Bret Baier. And they watched it for exactly what they got to see, which is the same reason people watch NASCAR for the crashes is the exact same reason.
That twice it didn't as many, change anybody's
twice
mind.
As many, twice as many people watched Kamala Harris on Fox News as watched Donald Trump's most recent one-on-one interview on Fox News. Why? Because they wanted to see car crashes, and they saw it. So people watch this, number one. And number two, if you're a Republican at this point in the campaign, all you want is clips. You want the Democrat nominee stumbling, fumbling, being not very bright, which she clearly isn't, not being able to answer rudimentary questions. And what we saw here, listen, it was not like a slam dunk one way or the other. I agree with you. But what this was a Democrat candidate for president being treated the way Republican candidates are treated by the media in interviews every single day. You guys have no idea how good you got it. It is absolutely ridiculous. One last thing.
The victim thing doesn't wear well.
One last thing. Let me close with this. Let me close with this because I love it. Who is the least popular constituency, least popular group in America, according to the American people, historically, over the last 20 years? Who is it? Politicians. You know who just became, who just for the first time ever in Gallup polling are now less popular than politicians? The media, for exactly the reasons I just talked about.
Earned.
So congratulations,
well-deserved.
Democrats, on running the media. You guys own it. They are your people. You own them. They own you. And they are the least popular group of people in America today. Congratulations. Great work.
I'm not here to defend the media. I mean, that goes both ways. It's
agenda. You say as a former Democrat political operative speaking into a microphone.
Right. Right next to you. Right next to you. And he's sitting on the radio, you know, this media that's so unfair.
So there's this guy.
I mean, that's funny.
There's this guy, Cenk Uygur. Who tweeted this, Trump is so crazy. And this is, I think this represents, Greg, what a lot of people on the left feel. Trump is so crazy, and the fact that half this country can't see it is one of the most amazing things of my lifetime. So here we go. I challenge any conservative with a real audience to debate me on either our air or yours. And my response was, dude, your side thinks men with penises should compete against girls. You think borders should be wide open. You think masks work, and you'd like to defund the police. Should I go on? I could get to cows farting, causing climate disasters, but that might be spiking the ball. I mean, you can say that I know, Jane, you don't believe in that. I don't think Donna believes in some of that. But the leader of the presidential ticket is on the record on all those issues, all of those issues. And she wants to say that she's evolved. But the American people kind of see through it, I think. That's the issue.
But half of the American people agree that he is mentally ill.
Yep.
And because he is. I mean, that ramble. I mean, he had some funny jokes and I did laugh and I sat through it. I talk about looking at a train wreck. I mean, you know, this guy, I mean, you know, tax, you know, forget women's rights. I mean, that's over. But I mean, you know, tax cuts for the rich.
You can say that.
He even reversed himself and said he was going to get one of the tax cuts, that he was going to reverse one of them. And I'm like, oh, you mean the tax cut wasn't all you hoped it would be? Because it wasn't. And it's ruining everything.
Well, what I hoped it would be, because the government was able to confiscate less of my money. And all Americans had less of their mm-hmm. money confiscated.
Well,
he said it last night. He wants to reverse one. You guys have gotten such a free pass on this because nobody has asked her a question about what's going to happen with those tax cuts. You guys know, if Congress doesn't do anything, everyone's taxes go up. It's not just Warren Buffett and Donald Trump and the billionaires that they always like to cite. And they don't pay income tax because they don't get paychecks. So it's just common sense in economics. That's capital gains.
Well,
so
he's leaving you.
Trump wants to do tariffs. Good.
You
Mark.
Think that... Listen, you think
Did
that if
you
Trump...
Hear it?
You
Did
think
you
if
hear
Trump,
he said Jane, he's going to reverse it?
Greg,
I
let's get
him.
Her on the record here. You think if Trump gets in office, he's going to jack taxes on everyone in America?
Or is he going to try to extend those? He's going to do tariffs.
Which
is really dangerous.
That's not
really dangerous. No, talk to any economist, any financial advisor. They
tariffs
know
are terrible.
Tariffs are terrible. And
well, tariffs so are not of, terrible.
Well, okay, yeah, because, wait, wait, you're where does kind our of, stuff come from? China. So if you love your dollar store and he does these tariffs, that dollar store is now going to be a $10 store.
Okay. Because I know that that's a talking point.
Anymore.
I understand that.
Tariffs
it's
may, not a talking
but
point.
You know
it's
what the American. No, it's not a fact, okay?
Yes.
And there are tariffs that exist right now. But here's the deal. The people, yeah, I like my cheap cat litter at Walmart too, right? But
I don't.
Okay, then you can shop at Deerberg's for everything if you'd like to. But a lot of us like that. But, you know, there are economic
local.
There are economic impacts to the tariffs. I'm not all on board with some of the things he's talking about.
Right.
But do you not understand what's happened to this economy in the last 3.5 years? You guys act like this all just came out of nowhere when 90% of the blame goes on your party and you just don't see it. And the American people kind of do. So hang in there. One segment down on a Reardon Roundtable.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Reardon Roundtable on 97.1 FM Talk.
Oh, we got Jane on the panel. She's going to hang out in the next hour, as we usually do on a Friday. Also, State Rep Donna Berenger, who is running for St. Louis City Comptroller. I always want to say controller because I think you're supposed to say controller, but it's comptroller, I guess, here in the city. Greg Keller, Republican consultant. Jane, let me get to some local issues. We're going to wind it back to some national politics when we close out the third segment. But a few stories, and some of these I did not give a lot of attention to this week, so we want to make sure that we explain them. But the first thing I saw, and I checked in with you on this particular topic, our friend Joe Holloman did a story that said another outgoing high-ranking aide picked up by County Executive Sam Page. So let me see if I get this right. If you're Dennis Hancock, who's my county councilman in St. Louis County Council,
yes,
who tries to hire his daughter-in-law and gets flagged on that, and they try to boot him out of office, like they try to cite the Constitution,
yep,
that's bad. Greg,
yep,
follow
that's bad.
Hey, that's bad. You can't do that. That should cost your job. But if you're the county executive, and you want to hand out jobs
like
people,
candy,
to people who are displaced from Cory Bush's and Wesley Bell's staff, like candy, that's cool. Because
like $300,000 worth of candy.
Yeah, big, high-paying jobs. But that's nothing to see here, right?
Nothing to see here. And it's like for the same job. They're supposed to be doing outreach to municipalities, which means North County. But he already hired Joan Kelly Horn. You remember her from way back when? She also is a liaison to the municipality. So we've got three people just in the county executive's office that are doing outreach. I mean, it's campaigning on the taxpayer dime. I mean, it's so open and notorious. The first guy, the guy who worked for Bell, he was a deadbeat dad, like he, you know, which is awesome because that's the message you want to send, is to be a deadbeat dad, and you know, and never left a police department without a settlement agreement. So that's something that isn't a red flag.
Are you talking about that Tim Swope guy?
Yes. Yes.
So what's his deal? Because they identify him as like a Republican county, like a former Republican St. Charles County sheriff.
I mean, well, no, he was in the office, but again, left with a settlement agreement. And so,
yeah, he's making $120 in new job.
Yeah. And then and then you forgot, though, they have the guy in the Department of Health. They're paying him to be the CEO of an FQHC, which is a federally qualified health center that the county has not gotten.
Mm-hmm.
They've been paying him for more than a year, over $200,000, and then they had to hire his wife in the county executive's office, and she's a grant writer.
Oh, whoa.
And so he's CEO of nothing, and now he's coming back for $450,000 for a consultant to teach him how to get the FQHC. The feds don't give them to counties. I mean, they just don't do that. And so, I mean,
but in this particular situation, you know, what can you do about it, right? Is there anything
The good news is now the county council's got a hold of the budget and they're fed up. And they've been very clear that the mismanagement of funds, it doesn't quite rival SLDC and that debacle and, you know, the city's debacle, but it's coming real close.
Can I ask this question? What What happens at these meetings? So Tom Sullivan, who, you know, he likes to stir things up and he watches county government. He is great. By the way, he's doing the job that the media should do.
Absolutely.
So Tom's done this for years. So I, you know, he updates a lot of us in the media, and he sent this week, and he likes to quote Sam Page at the top. This is the roll call from 10/15/24, which was Tuesday, and Sam Page is quoted at the top from April of 2019, where he says, "The charter requires me to attend council meetings, and I will." But at this council meeting, Sam Page not there, Shalonda Webb not there, mm-hmm. Lisa Clancy not there.
Yes.
Kelly Dunaway not there.
Yes.
Rita Days was there. Dennis Hancock was there. The guy they tried to kick off. Mark Carter was there. Yep. Ernie Trakas. How do you do county government when that happens?
Right. Well, luckily they had a quorum so they could meet. But, I mean, Kelly Dunaway hasn't showed up since she, you know, decided to quit. I mean, it's unbelievable how
she's the one being replaced by Gretchen, right?
Yes.
So that's Gretchen.
That'll be a huge upgrade.
That's right.
Huge upgrade.
We served on local government. We are all about fiscal review. And
she was a former county auditor. Yes. So Sam has no idea what he's in for
so
now.
So you don't have your automatic guaranteed votes anymore on the county council.
Okay,
he'll be 6-1. So
there's some wasted money in the county. And then who saw this story? St. Louis buys 9 electric Mustangs. They didn't get the,
It's 50 grand a pop.
$50,000. $46,200.
I'm sorry. All right. Close to 50.
As a city resident, I was so angry. And here's why I was angry. Because I said, where did they buy them? They bought them at Sunset Hills, Sunset Ford. And my constituent, John Schicker, has Ford down on South Kings Highway.
The only Ford.
That's in the county. The one that they bought
from.
Yeah,
they bought it from the county.
It's out in the county. Yeah. But we have a Ford dealer who I've bought all my Fords
from. The only Ford dealer in the city.
Let me take a step further.
Well, we appreciate your tax dollars over there, so that's okay.
No, wait. So I'm no longer having to drive to Jefferson City. So I wanted to get a smaller car that got better gas mileage. So I went in there with my own money, and I bought a hybrid Ford Escape. That is what they should be driving.
Yes, it is what
Mustang,
they should be driving.
A Mustang?
Or how about an Escort?
Well, even then, you need a hybrid. Do they not understand how electric cars work? Do they not understand we're in the city of St. Louis and there's a stop? You have to go a stop sign every other stop. And if you have a hybrid, it actually makes your electricity on your car work. So you would actually save money with a hybrid than you will with an electrical. So,
and that's the joke of it, is that they say, there's going to be there's not going to be savings. That's complete nonsense.
They say 4 of them went to the health department, 3 went to Forest Park for park ranger use, 1 went to the street department for inspector's use. He's going to have fun, that dude. I want to be the
inspector of the streets department. Because they're going to get stolen the first week.
And Donna, why are you complaining? One of them went to the comptroller's office.
Oh.
That could be your next car.
I want to know why the comptroller's office needed a vehicle.
That's a very good question.
A Mustang.
Because everything they do, the work, mostly is done between 1520 Market and City Hall. So you can't walk 2.5 blocks? Give me a break.
Yeah, no, this is like, I mean, and then the way this is the right thing because it's electric, you know, because, we got the electric agenda, so that somehow justifies this expense. I mean, people are getting fed up. You should see, the comments on that story, people are livid. They're like, Rome is burning. There are potholes every 2 feet, and you can't fix roads. You can't pick up trash. Here's the other thing, lead pipes. Like, we're Flint, Michigan, okay? Mm-hmm. I know a young couple who had a baby who had lead in their system because of the lead pipes in St. Louis.
Jane,
they don't tell you.
Jane, the mayor is all over every issue that you mentioned on a beach in Mexico, but she's all over it.
Right. Hashtag travel in Tashara. Yeah, that's her new nickname. But she came back today. So all is good now. Yeah. So, yeah.
But let's talk crime here for a second, because we've talked crime nearly every Reardon Roundtable for the past, 15 years, clearly.
What crime? It's not happening,
Mark. But wait, you saw what the FBI, and this is 22, not 23. It's going to probably be worse for 23. They revised the numbers from 22.
Yep.
And, you remember when it was crime fell by 2.1%. Oopsie, it went up by 4.5%. Violent crime, as we all knew, because we see it on a daily basis, increased. And lo and behold, 3 weeks before an election, they revised those numbers. I'm actually surprised they didn't wait till the day after, Kelly.
And by the way, that doesn't count the fact that in 2021, they changed the definitions of how you report things. That's why we get the 50 car break-ins on one street. That count goes into crime stats as one incident. That's the FBI. So it's a double layer of how they've been trying to juke the stats. And look, You could, you know what, Tashara and the chief could keep running around and telling everybody it's great, it's great, it's great. But people don't like to be told that they don't see with their own eyes. Okay.
Right.
And that is very offensive to voters. And I think she's taken a huge political hit on telling people that they don't see what they see.
I was at Mike Kehoe event, who's going to be our next governor, God willing, come November. I was at one of his campaign events this week, and he had several applause lines in his remarks. He talks about, hey, we're going to cut taxes. We're going to be a business-friendly state again. Clap. We're going to push education reform, and we're going to give parents and students and families more say in how they spend their education dollars. Everyone clapped. The big, however, applause line of the night was Mike Kehoe, the next governor of the state, saying, but most importantly, we're going to get the crime situation in this state under control.
Amen.
Because none of those things are popular, are possible, unless and until you get that under control.
Correct.
Which I think it's, you know, I think it's laudable that we have leadership in Jefferson City coming in that wants to do that. I think the question is, as a Republican governor, how do you go about doing that? I would argue that step one is stop answering the phone calls from Tashara Jones and St. Louis City Democrat politicians.
Whoa.
We as Republicans make the mistake of thinking that Democrats in the city, present company notwithstanding, thinking that Democrats in the city have something helpful to give towards resolution of the current situation. We've seen for the last 70 years what has happened in this city under Democrat leadership. We as Republicans just need to wisen up and realize that Democrats obviously don't have any answers to these problems. And step number one is not answering any phone calls, if you're the governor of Missouri, from any elected official in the city of St. Louis.
Well, I mean,
except me. Wait a minute. Except
yeah,
me.
Yeah. No,
I have been working on this. And so has Steve Butts.
Yes,
the
Steve Butts
have worked very hard.
State control.
And
yep.
I was put on that special committee where we were looking at the crime, right? And in it, we were going to take the work away from Kim Gardner's office. And we were moving that through the House and the Senate when finally she was removed. So I think they saw that when you bring good quality leadership into the city like Gabe Gore.
There are some Democrats that are just fine.
Difference.
We just have a crop right now that are ruining the region.
You know, and this isn't the biggest crime story of our city in the last couple of weeks, but I did want to mention it, and probably it was a little undercover.
Your
but,
friend?
You know, right here at the corner of 14th and Market, there was a death the other night because someone ran through a stoplight. And mm-hmm. it happens all the time, which is why I bring it up. I mean, it doesn't happen at 1:30 in the morning. That's when that accident occurred. And by the way, it was the person who ran through the light that ended up one of the passengers in that car ended up dying. But Jane, I've said this before. I go down 14th and I go to Shoto and I hit the highway, you know, at Lafayette. I don't, when I see a green light, I slow down.
Yeah, because you know somebody's coming from the other
I've
way.
I've seen it happen too
you
many
have
times.
To. You yep. have to. And they talk about, oh, we're going to do traffic calming measures. We're going to do more bike lanes. We're going to do all this nonsense. They will do anything. They will waste any amount of money they can get their hands on rather than hire sufficient police to actually make people have consequences for behavior that's dangerous.
You know, I don't have time to play this audio now. I used it yesterday for my audio cut of the day. You would be very interested. I think the whole panel would be. And for those people who missed it yesterday, you can listen. You can use the rewind function and go to about 5:45. There, and this audio that I played yesterday is from 2021, but it's Brandon Johnson, some of the top three staffers for the mayor of Chicago, Brandon Johnson, on a Zoom call just blatantly talking about defunding the police.
Absolutely.
And they're not dancing around the edges
nope.
at all. And my point
Tashara's
when I played
doing it, she's just not saying
that's
it.
That's my point.
Correct.
When I played these people from Chicago, by the way, they're making the one person's making like $192,000 a year. They're all six figure plus. Now, obviously, higher cost of living in Chicago. But it's stunning. And my point when I said that, Keller, you would agree, it's happening here too. You're
yes.
just not hearing about it, right? They get caught on the Zoom call and then it gets out and people understand what they're saying. But these are the people that are, you know, running things behind the scenes.
And not only are they making $200,000 a year, but because of the government employee unions, which should not exist in the first place, they are going to be getting pensions until the day that they die.
That's sickening.
For $200,000 right. a year, none of which, a very small portion of which are actually covered in terms of how they're funding them at this point. That's what's eventually going to bankrupt this country, sadly. Someone mentioned bike lanes earlier. I just have to throw this in there as a St. Louis County resident. We now have bike lanes in downtown Clayton, which are causing traffic jams every morning and every afternoon, presumably so that one communist anthropology professor at Washington University
can ride their bike five
bike
blocks.
To, yeah. yeah. So, I mean, like,
Democrats maybe like turn the volume down on your campus commies and like listening to them on the bike.
Yeah, how about some of the basic government functions?
Okay. That's all people want are basics. That's
hang
all
on,
they want.
Hang on. We have one more segment to go. It's a Reading Roundtable on a Friday.
Some ideas are better than others. We're hashing it out on the Reardon Roundtable.
Well, we're down to only having like two roundtables and about 7 minutes left because we're almost wrapping this one. And Jane and I are both off next Friday. So we'll have the final one in 2 weeks before the election. So we're getting very, very close. But let's talk. Greg Keller is here. State Rep Donna Behringer. Jane is here. Let's just kind of do a little wind up here of some local and some state issues. Just on the statewide races, I've been around Missouri politics. We all have for a long time. It is so quiet, Greg. And that's, I guess, because Democrats really aren't competitive with any of these Republicans. You hear a little bit about Lucas Kuntz and Josh Hawley, but it's pretty quiet. I know that Mike Kehoe's out there and he's campaigning and doing all that stuff. I'm not alleging that these Republicans aren't campaigning or taking things for granted, but it is a weird cycle.
Yeah, we saw some fresh polling on the statewide races. Actually, oddly, for some reason, they didn't include the governor's race, but I believe it was ActiVote or one of the national pollsters came into Missouri and polled all the statewide races. In literally every single one of them, the Republicans, rather, are leading by 20-plus points. So no huge surprise that those aren't making a lot of news. Republicans are going to win all those races. They're going to win them all going away.
Well, here's my theory. My theory was we had a lot of ugly primaries with the Republicans, and they raised a lot of money for those primaries. And then they saw that the Democrats are not raising as much money as they would like, and so they didn't need to go all out to get more money. And so they're doing less ads. That's why I think it's quiet.
Amendment 2 and 3. Jane, predictions on both of those issues. I think they probably both pass.
I think 3 passes.
Let's make sure people know what we're talking about, though. Amendment 3 is the abortion issue. Amendment
correct.
2 is the sports wagering issue.
Yes. And then there's another gaming one, which
Amendment
I think is
5. That's the casino down at the Lake of the Ozarks,
right? Yeah, and it's sort of being tied to that. You can tell that it's sort of, I think people are lumping those two together.
And
so
they shouldn't.
I think they go together. They shouldn't.
They don't.
But, I mean, I think Lake of the Ozarks, if they want a casino, they ought to have it, and I'm all for it.
I'd vote for it, too.
Yeah.
Look, my whole position on Amendment 2 is I am suspicious about the money going to education.
I don't care.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I don't care. I just want, this is my libertarian streak. I want the freedom to do this. I can do it in other states, and I'm sick of sending money to my friend in Vegas and bothering him. I just want to do it myself.
Absolutely. I mean, the money's going to Illinois or Kansas, you know, or, I mean, does Kansas has it?
Kansas has it as well.
Yeah, so
all
I mean.
All 8 states around the state of Missouri have it. And so I come from a completely
money.
Different direction on this. We have had a clean sports betting bill in the House for the last 3 years in a row, and it got killed. And I mean, it was introduced by Republican House members. We all agreed to it, and it got killed
but
over in the Senate.
That's the Denny Hoskins thing with the VLTs,
but,
though,
which
right?
Which is why I'm supporting Amendment 2, because I'm tired of this. We've got to get it. You have the Chiefs on one side, then go across to Kansas. You got the Cardinals over here, then go across to Illinois. Let's just do it. It's a very small demographic. I don't understand why people think this is a huge
and why do
thing.
People care?
I know. Well,
you know
it's going
mean?
To pass.
I hope so.
Pass.
I'm just done.
I think the Amendment 3 one, which is abortion, is just as interesting as well, too. It is so extreme. It would allow for birthday abortions right up to the point.
Oh, no,
when,
it
yes,
does
it absolutely
not.
Would.
No, it
read the bill.
No,
yes, it would. Yes, it would.
It
allows for
not.
It allows
nope.
for birthday
nope.
abortions
nope.
right up. Yes, it does.
Hang on.
No. Right up until the point where the baby is born. It absolutely allows for it. It also allows for child genital mutilation without parental consent. That is absolutely true.
Well, that one I'm going to give
the bill.
Him because I've read
it is
that.
The most extreme abortion bill that has ever been promulgated by any state in the country. I think that there's a chance. I think betters, no pun intended, would probably say it is going to pass. Although I have heard recently that some of the, remember who's funding this, it's all the coastal communists, $25 million coming in from California and New York and other psychotic Democrat communist locations to fund this radical pro-abortion amendment, Amendment 3. I have heard recently and seen polling that their polling is actually a little bit wonky. So the question is, do you want to stand up against the most radical abortion bill that has ever been put forward anywhere in the country? I think we have a chance to beat this thing.
I think that's. I mean,
women are coming out.
Yeah, you got your talking points in, but yeah, no, I think. And what's really interesting about
Missouri, they have the benefit of being true.
Well, sure, in your mind.
Thank you.
And in your mind, but. You know,
I love killer.
Missouri has a very interesting pattern, like things like pot, like minimum wage, like Medicaid expansion. These are all Democratic-led ideas that the people pass at the ballot, but it's an anomaly. They will vote for these things, but then they will vote for Republicans, which is very interesting. So I see that there will be a lot of people who will vote for Republican candidates who will vote yes on this amendment.
The same thing happens in other states in reverse. You know, I find it really fascinating right now what's happening in California with Prop 36. They passed this law in the state assembly to minimize the punishment if you steal under $1,000. So they rampage through stores. They steal as much stuff as they can. They know there's no consequences. So they come in with Prop 36, which is going to ramp up the punishments. It is an overwhelming issue. It's 80% of the people in California support it. You know who doesn't? The LA Times and Gavin Newsom. I mean, talk about being out of touch. Same thing with Gascon. He's on the ballot for re-election. I call him the Kim Gardner of the West. It's like the polling is overwhelming for the other guy, and the LA Times still thinks Gascon is the guy. Talk about being tone deaf. So, you know, yeah, some of these things do happen in a weird way, and people can separate out the issues.
Yeah, I mean, I think if board control, the St. Louis Police Department went to the ballot, I think it would win overwhelmingly.
We got to wrap it. Wrapping for a Friday. Donna Behringer, great to see you.
Thank you for having me.
Keller, awesome to have you in, and your hair.
Thanks, guys. We always appreciate that.
We'll do it again.
The hair has not moved.
Jane's going to hang out. The hair never moved. No, it's very well gelled. Hang in there. Second hour, Sue's News, coming up.
Catch anything you missed today by getting the show podcast at 971talk.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.